What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think I just got an epiphany.
That's something I guess I'd never really stopped to consider.
This is like deep. I never thought about it.
It's mind-blowing to me. I don't know if I've ever had anybody put it that plainly.
I haven't really looked at it that way before.
Yeah, this just sounds cool.
That just now came to me.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and I have the privilege of being here again with my friend and colleague, Jamaica Groover Skelton. For those of you that weren't here for our last episode, we are talking about biblical femininity, and this is part two. And last time, Jamaica was just kind of working through the big picture principles of how has God made women? What does that mean in terms of nature? And then getting into character traits and how a woman pleases God in her femininity. So Jamaica, again, thank you for coming back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Now you're entering into a very important topic. And I said this last episode, I said, you know, I've had many female listeners write in and say, hey, Dr. Gifford, let's talk about biblical femininity. And I'm like, I ain't the one to be able to do that. So what you're able to say now and the ways you're able to teach are super helpful for our audience. And just by way of reminder, and then I'm going to turn it over to you to kind of continue. We left off with last episode, the idea of a woman being virtuous, which is that she's kind and she has good morals. And good morals, I mean, that's broadly applicable, but you were saying that's doing what's right before the Lord. No back alley morality.
Exactly.
Which is good. That's a helpful way to say it. It's like, yeah, the Lord sees, the Lord knows.
Yes.
Okay, so let's pick up from there. So what else would you say? How does a woman please the Lord in her femininity?
Well, we mentioned, or I mentioned, the wealthy part. Like, what do we mean by she's wealthy? I believe, and it says it in the word, that she is wealthy. And what we mean by that, no, she's not rich or trying to pursue richness and all of that regarding the world, but she herself is a treasure and she is a rare find. So that's a big deal.
So she's wealthy because she's an asset.
Yes. And it's hard to find nowadays a rare find and a treasure. So again, I go back to Ruth's example where Ruth's character traits through Boaz's observation of her, he mentions a few things that I thought helps us to see her importance. Being a rare find. So first he says that she is blessed of the Lord. She is loyal and kind to her mother-in-law. She's not seeking a husband for personal gain and keeps her morality right before God. And in verse 11, Boaz tells her, So now, my daughter, do not fear. All that you say, I will do for you. For all my people within the gates of the city know that you are a woman of excellence. So Ruth proves her excellence to be true because she herself is a treasure. And this is the wealth that we see in her and Boaz sees in her. So that's something that we have to ask ourselves as women. Am I a true treasure? And mind you, we have to go back to that humility part. People have to say that about us. We can't say that about ourselves.
When a lady's thinking about the value that she brings, would you say that that is, you know, like, it's primarily like the humility, the kindness, the morality, you know, the good morals. Is there anything else that you're thinking in terms of like, she's a treasure?
Well, she doesn't aim to be like other women of the world. Her identity is in Christ. She knows what worthiness looks like because she looks to Jesus for everything. She's not insecure. She doesn't practice a lifestyle of worry and anxiety. Mm. She handles her business with confidence in Christ. I know this sounds really general, but it's just really that simple. We don't have to go deeper in more depth in trying to find out who we are if we are in Christ.
I can't help but think that would be very freeing for a lady to just be confident in who she is in Christ.
Oh, most definitely. I actually had the honor to experience such excellence recently. One of the ladies who's dear to my family, she just turned 80, but she's also been diagnosed with cancer a few years ago. So she's been suffering through her cancer, but she wanted to have a celebration for her birthday instead of having gifts and all of that. She just wanted to celebrate what God did for her. And mind you, when everybody had something to say about her, They all agreed that she was an excellent, virtuous woman. And mind you, none of them knew each other. Everybody didn't know each other.
Interesting.
So that's what made it even more exciting. So, yeah.
It's like even more of a providential thing that multiple people are saying the same thing about you. It should give her great comfort and encouragement. All right. What else about wealth, though? What else, I mean, are you thinking that a lady should be? So she is the jewel. She is the treasure. Are there any other things? I have a couple of questions for you about it before I like take over your time for sharing more of the wealthy aspects.
Well, I believe that a woman who is a rare find, who is wealthy, God says that she is excellent, that her husband, if she's married, her husband trusts in her, benefits from her greatly. If she's not married, people around you should trust in you and should benefit from you greatly. She should fear the Lord. She should be a prayer warrior, someone who knows how to pray and is not afraid to pray for people and with people. You would be surprised at how many women I've come across who do not practice praying regularly for and with people. And that's something that a woman who is rarefied, who is wealthy, would be practicing. So that's something that we have to consider as well. Also, she brings her husband good and not evil. And if you're single, you bring people good and not evil. Cooking is something that I think is a rare find as well, because a lot of women don't do that anymore.
I'm interpreting that to mean good stuff.
Oh, most definitely.
It is a blessing. I think when we see some of just, you know, I don't want to say that every lady needs to know certain domestic skills, but some of those are just a way of blessing your home, it seems, especially for those that may be home first. So I see like a husband's working 40 hours and the wife's working 40 hours. You know, they kind of split duties on that.
Right. And not all women know how to cook. And that's not the thing that makes a person feminine. It's just something that's mentioned. But there might be other things that she might be able really good at.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. The Bible does speak about a woman being responsible for the domestic responsibilities of the home, not necessarily doing all of them.
That's true.
Proverbs 31 lady, like she's just ripping it. She's out, you know, selling stuff, making stuff, teaching the neighbors. She's doing a great job, it seems.
She's doing an excellent job, and we have to adhere to that.
Are there pitfalls for ladies whenever they're thinking about, you know, just self-worth, you know, struggling with, I don't feel like a jewel, or maybe those that just feel like they're not adequate? You know, do you have any thoughts or considerations for them?
Oh, most definitely. The answer is you're not adequate. But if you are in Christ and your identity is in Christ, then that's where the adequacy comes in. We have to remember who we are in Christ. It's not us alone. We have to remember who we belong to.
Does that embolden a lady to be more of a treasure?
Most definitely.
Does it?
Yeah. I think it's important to consider the fact that a rare find is having confidence in having your identity in Christ and being assured of that. Not a lot of women are that assured of that. Yeah. And insecurity is like on the rise. Anxiety is on the rise.
Right, right.
Depression is on the rise. But how many of us can say identity in Christ is on the rise? I mean, that's important. That's a rare find. That's a treasure.
That is a treasure. And it's not like it's totally different for men. You know, there is a sense in which we as men have to know who we are in Christ, because we can be temperamental or we can be insecure, and we may come across as, you know, macho and so forth, but yet still be quite insecure. So that identity in Christ is so key to making us confident, godly men who are not flaky dudes.
Exactly. We don't want to be a flaky dude, and we don't want to be flaky women.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that. Okay. Any other thoughts on wealth before we take a break here?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head, but yeah, I think we've pretty much dealt with the importance of understanding, just in hindsight, the importance of wealth and having our wealth in Christ. That's
yeah,
what we are.
I've never heard that before, Jamaica, in all fairness. And I'm not just saying, wow, thanks for making up something new and original. You know, this isn't Mars Hill, but I'm surprised. I think it's just a refreshing way to look at the way a woman views herself as being a treasure, as being someone who is just personally an asset. And I've also appreciated how you did mention that it is some of the things that she does, but it's not primarily the things that she does. As a male, I never want to communicate to a female, I'm thankful for you only because of how you help me.
Mm.
I always feel like that's degrading to a certain degree.
Not only is it degrading, it's wrong thoughts, because that's not how God wants us to think about one another.
Then it's almost selfish. It's like, you know what? You are a treasure because you helped me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a short break. I'm going to turn it over to Jimmy. When we come back, we're going to talk about what it means to be a rare find as a female. So we'll be right back.
All righty, and we will be back with more from Dr. Gifford. But first, I want to chat about some resources we have available, and one in particular, Feelings and Faith by Brian Borgman. It's a resource, a book available on our website at transformed.org. This book is a home run. One of the things that Borgman says in the book is we cannot determine what's true by how we feel about something. Truth is the goalpost that doesn't move. Our feelings are so up and down all the time, and so we can't determine what's true or what's not by how it makes us feel. Feelings and Faith by Brian Borgman. It's worth its weight in gold, and it's available right now at transformed.org. Let me shift gears just a moment, because you've heard us talk about our gospel partners and how wonderful they are and how appreciative we are of them. They're the backbone of our ministry and what we do here with Transformed, Wretched Radio and Wretched TV, Road Trip to Truth, Breaking Bread, Wretched Worldview, and all of the resources that we are able to produce. It's only because of our gospel partners, and if you are one of those gospel partners, bless you. If you're not, could we ask you to prayerfully consider becoming one and linking arms with us in the mission that we have here and reaching as many people as we possibly can with the gospel and helping to edify and equip the local church. You can get all of the details about how that might look in your life right now at transformed.org. And before we jump back to Dr. Gifford, I also want to remind you of the urgent need for biblical counselors in our churches. And one of the resources we have available that I would encourage you to pick up if you have been thinking about entering the world of biblical counseling is Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands by Paul David Tripp. We all interpret life a little bit differently. We have lived experiences and we have environments that we spend most of our time in and people that we know, and that can cause us to see life differently than maybe our next door neighbor or a coworker that we have. And so because of that, we need truth outside of ourselves to get it right. And just like Feelings and Faith, that goalpost that doesn't move is Scripture. And this book is your first step toward not just understanding others, but helping them to find their footing in Christ. Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands by Paul David Tripp, and it's available right now at transformed.org. All righty, well, that's going to do it for me. I know you're eager to get back to Dr. Gifford and his guest, Jamaica Gruger Skelton, as they continue their chat on biblical femininity. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
We have a tendency to let our feelings be the engine that drives our lives. And when we do, despair is soon to follow.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We have been talking about biblical femininity. So thank you, Jimmy, for offering to us some good resources there. And we're going to jump back into our conversation now. I have the privilege of having my friend and colleague, Jamaica Gruver Skelton, here with me. And we are talking about how to please the Lord in our femininity, or actually, I should say, a woman pleasing the Lord in her femininity. I keep saying that. You guys know what I mean, hopefully. Okay. What we said in our last segment is that she's wealthy. And you clarified, Jamaica, that she's wealthy, meaning she is a treasure and that she's an asset to those that are around her, but not because of the things that she does exclusively. There's maybe a part of that, a small part, but because of who she is. So then you briefly mentioned the idea of her being a rare find. So how does a woman please the Lord in her femininity, that she's a rare find? So help us understand what you mean by that.
Okay. So I want to go back a little bit about the importance of her stage of kindness. Just a little bit. So we ask ourselves, and I think it's important for us to ask ourselves, what separates us in our femininity from masculinity. So we're called to be kind because we're all called to be kind, both male and female. So I want us to understand there is a difference, what sets us apart. And this is going to blend in with the rare find. In chapter 2 in Ruth, of course, she's going to be my another example. We see kindness in Boaz when he allowed Ruth to pick and gather from his field, right? He told her in verse 8 not to pick and gather from any other field, but only in his field to stay with his maids. And then he tells her, let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. So she will have nothing to fear because Boaz commanded his male servants not to touch her when she goes out in the field. So he gives her favor, showing kindness to her, for she's not to be considered a trespasser, but to be one to seek refuge here. So then in Ruth chapter 2, verse 10 through 12, after Ruth humbly asked Boaz why he has taken notice of her since she's a foreigner, Boaz replies to her, and I think this is really critical, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. So may the Lord reward your work and your wages. Be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. So the distinction of kindness in both Boaz and Ruth vividly displays femininity and masculinity. And this is what makes Ruth a rare find. We are called to be kind, but all kindness will look different from one another practically. So Ruth displays kindness in her femininity by coming alongside Naomi as another woman, as the widow who's in need. So a man could not have done that. Boaz displayed kindness in his masculinity by showing care and favor to Ruth by providing for her needs. So even though she was not his wife at the time, he showed her kindness through his provision. And a woman could not have done that. And this is what makes it a rare find.
Interesting. So kindness, I would agree. Kindness, like as a male, I'm called to be kind and to do good. But what you're emphasizing is that really that kindness is expressing itself in different ways. And when a female's doing that, and in this case, it's Naomi towards, or Ruth towards Naomi, that it's a feminine, or it's a proper expression of her femininity that in then turn Boaz hears about. So that makes her rare.
Yes.
So a person that is mean is common, and a person that is kind is rare.
I would say yes.
But it seems like for ladies, when they are kind, like you're saying, it in some ways starts to distinguish them, especially from worldly ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that?
I totally agree.
Why is that so rare?
Well, we have to remember the foundation in which they're being kind. Because even people will say that certain celebrities are kind because they give money or what have you,
okay,
or give gifts. But we have to remember the kindness of the Lord looks different than anybody else. Even if people that we see in the world are looking kind, we can't be deceived. We have to always look at God's kindness.
Got it. So the baseline for kindness is God's character.
Most definitely.
And a woman who is a rare find is emulating the character of God and his kindness.
Right.
Maybe expressing it towards her family or expressing in ways that are different from the way a man would express it. But it's that character of God she's expressing.
Yeah.
What else? Are there other things that make her a rare find? I'm not fishing. I'm just wondering if there's something else that you got.
Well, yeah, I believe, like I said earlier in previous episodes, kindness is ongoing. It's increasing. So it's not just being nice in one moment. So if we want to know how to show kindness to others, it's like what you mentioned earlier, we have to look at God and how he showed kindness to us. And one of the major ways in which he did that is showing his kindness to us by sending his son to die for us while we were still sinning against him, according to Romans 5:8. So that's an example of true kindness. And we have to follow God's way in which he's kind to us and exercise that to other people. That's how people see the church. That's how people see Christ on earth.
How do you help ladies do that? I mean, and just to kind of break it down, Romans 5, 8, and 10, like how do we help them say, are you emulating that type of kindness? Do you have questions or thoughts or in your counseling experience? Like how do you help the mean lady put on kindness?
Well, first she has to know who God is in order to even practice the things that he has commanded us to practice, but we also have to submit and surrender to God's standards of right living. So if there's commandments in scripture that tells us how to love others and how to practice loving others, like, for example, being kind, being patient, not being jealous, not envying others, not coveting over and after others. When somebody receives something, we should rejoice with them and not feel like we deserve to get that too.
Like an entitlement or something? Or
exactly. We can't live life hating on one another as Christians. That is not the way to go.
That's right.
So we have really practical ways of doing these things, and all of it's written in scripture. We just have to study scripture well enough to be able to apply those truths in our lives. There's nothing that God didn't give us that we don't already have.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. And as I'm thinking that through, I'm thinking like the mean lady, I just wonder too, you know, for her to be that rare find, I'm just wondering how that works for ladies. You know, how do they, and what I'm hearing you say is you're taking them back to the character of God, character traits to pursue, and then saturating themselves in that. And God kind of does that softening work of meaniness goes away, and then kindness is put on.
Most definitely. And they have to desire to want to be like God. So even that mean lady, when she confesses her sins to the Lord and repents, then she can turn around and make sure that she is living the way that God has called her to live, in love and in kindness and in patience, good morals, rare find.
Yeah. Do you have questions that you ask, or that, you know, they're kind of like the self-evaluative questions for those that are wondering, am I that rare find?
I would encourage that question towards others. I would encourage women to ask others, because you won't really know for yourself, and you can't really say for yourself. So there's been moments where I've even asked, I'll ask my husband, am I nice? Am I kind? Am I loving? Do I show it to you? Please tell me the truth. I have to ask my family first, because they really know me well.
Yeah, Tyrone knows you the best.
Yes, sure. He does.
Yeah, that's helpful, because I think we have blind spots at times too, where we think we're being kind, but we're kind of coming across as something other than that.
Oh, yeah. And our motivations we have to watch out for those as well, because God sees those.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Because manipulation is something that we do practice sometimes.
Oh, the ladies manipulating?
Yeah.
Jamaica said it, not me, everybody, just to be clear.
Yeah, it happens.
Well, you know, big picture, she's an asset because of who she is. And it seems like if she is an asset, then the result will be that she is a treasure. She is that rare find. And so then when the scripture says things like, and I know not all women are wives, but he who finds a wife finds a good thing, or that there's nothing compared to, you know, the end of Proverbs 31, I think of just this exquisite compliment. She is great. She is that rare find. So it seems like if a woman is fulfilling the biblical femininity and pleasing the Lord, that she becomes a rare find. She's not common in that way. She's uncommon in comparison with other ladies.
Yeah, I believe that being a rare find is knowing your identity in Christ and living his likeness out. I think it's important for women to study, pray, and obey regularly Philippians 2 and all scripture, but regarding femininity and finding out how to be more kind and to put others before you, it's important. But always look to Jesus for everything. And a prayer life is critical. Like, again, I'm really surprised at how many people really don't have prayer life.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that as well.
It's crazy. But as a Christian, that's something we definitely have to increase in. We have to have a prayer life, because we can't do anything without Christ. He says that in John 15:5.
That's right. Okay, well, thank you for joining us. And on behalf of Transform listeners, thank you for speaking into this topic. I know there's been questions and desire for clarity. So for those of you who are listeners, do write in and say, hey, thank you, Jamaica. And I can pass those off to her. Or if you have questions, then feel free to write in to me, and then I'll bounce those ideas off of Jamaica, maybe talk her into coming back for some more episodes. So let me be done for today, and let me pray for us as we finish up. Lord, I do thank you again for Jamaica and the skills and the gifts that you have given to her. Thank you for allowing her to serve us. I pray that the ladies that are listening to this would be prompted to be more and more like Jesus, and that we as men could be godly men who are acting in honorable ways to our sisters. May each of us work in such a way that we are fulfilling the designs that you have created for us in both our roles and our genders. And Lord, I think, and maybe this is just my own opinion, Lord, but I think that's what we really want in the end. We want to do what you've called us to do, and this is the culture that we want. We want to have a culture of godly men and godly women to get to interact with and to live among. So help us to be that, and may you be honored in all of this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Gospel Partners Media. Our website, of course, is transformed.org, and it is your central hub for finding in-depth information on all things Transformed. If you've enjoyed Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family. Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner? And until next time, go serve your King.